Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. On Tuesday in Alabama, Democrats were once again reminded of the political power of African Americans when they feel they have reason to turn out. Black women especially came out in droves for Doug Jones over Roy Moore. Exit polls show that 98% of black women and 93% of black men cast ballots for Jones if they went to the polls at all. By comparison, 63% of white women actually voted for Roy Moore. The lesson: the party needs to care about voters if the voters are going to care about the party. On CNN Tuesday night, former NBA star and Doug Jones supporter Charles Barkley said the vote was a wake-up call for Democrats.
This is a wake-up call for Democrats. Your Democrats, and I told Mr. Jones this, and I love Doug, they've taken the black vote and the poor vote for granted for a long time. It's time for them to get off their ass and start making life better for black folks and people who are poor. They've always had our votes, and they have abused our votes, and this is a wake-up call. We got it in a great position now, but this is a wake-up call for Democrats to do better for black people and poor white people.
Charles Barkley, Tuesday night. With me now is L. Joy Williams, a strategist for candidates, campaigns, and PACs, and president of the Brooklyn NAACP. She is also creator and host of the Sunday Civics podcast. Welcome back to WNYC. So nice of you to come.
Thank you so much for having me.
First of all, how much do you agree with Charles Barkley about abusing people's votes in the past and this being a wake-up call?
I certainly agree with that, and I'm on record with particularly taking issue with the Democratic Party, of which I'm currently I identify as a Democrat and vote Democrat, that they have for long relied on our votes at the last minute in order to pull out wins, but often don't champion that hard for our issues or only use us as wins in the last minute. And I've, you know, been on record for, you know, about 2 years now saying that it's time for the party to really have a deep dive investment in that coalition at the center, which is African-American women, and double down on that coalition, and which is the new American majority, really, in terms of, you know, how this country is going to move forward. And, you know, I think that there have been several wake-up calls for the party and for this country. And the return on investment is clear, that if we invest resources, if we champion the issues that marginalized groups in this country are focused on and need, then we win. And that's the only thing we've been saying for the last couple of years. And I'm glad people are starting to see the proof in the pudding.
So I wonder if there are African-American men or women listening right now who this is resonating with. And maybe you lean Democratic and you certainly don't think the Republicans act in your interest. Mm-hmm. But you don't always go to the polls for the Democrats because you feel abused, taken advantage of, things like that, that Charles Barkley and L. Joy Williams are getting at. What do you need to see from the Democratic Party, listeners? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, particularly for African-American listeners, men or women, 212-433-9692. When do you feel taken advantage of by the Democratic Party? What was this Alabama vote a wake-up call for them to do? What more would you need to see from Democratic candidates at the state, local, or national level to make you feel truly represented and not just taken advantage of because they know you probably don't want to vote for a Republican? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. How much was the Alabama race unique, in your opinion, in terms of black turnout, because Roy Moore said right out loud that the slavery era was the time America was great, said that in September, and he criticized any constitutional amendment after the 10th. And Doug Jones had a particularly pro-civil rights background. He was so mm-hmm. known for prosecuting those 1963 racial terrorists, and he was the head of the board of the Civil Rights Institute, which is a museum, actually, I think, in Birmingham. So how unique was Alabama because of the contrast of these two particular candidates, and how much is it a sign of, you know, a bigger wave in the country right now?
Right. Quite often, black voters in general or voters of color in general, we get described as only voting on one particular issue. Right. We're voting for somebody because they're black. You know, in the case of Barack Obama, that was people's excuse that, you know, we only voted in high numbers because it was a black candidate. Or even in this case, in terms of Alabama, that we only voted for Doug Jones because Roy Moore was so blatant in his bigotry and the other. I can go down the line of issues that he
we
had.
We could take the rest of the
right?
segment.
But specifically, you know, black voters overall are thinking about not only the issues and the candidates, but in totality, right? We're thinking about not only the candidate that is put before us or that is put on the ballot, but also on the track record they have and the issues that they're going to champion. So it's not just voting for a black candidate just for black candidate's sake or voting against a particularly bad candidate. It's also knowing the track record and history of these candidates and knowing whether or not you can trust that they're going to champion your issues. I mean, you can look at the demographics and the issues facing Alabama, those in Alabama, extreme poverty, right? They had a hookworm issue that you only see, you know, in third world countries, right? And that's lack of access to water. And there are a number of issues that those voters are facing. And so when faced with the choice of a representative that is going to champion their issues and someone that they can look up to and trust to champion their issues, they made a conscious decision to go with someone to do that. And I celebrate that. And it's often times one of the things that, you know, I disagree with in the conversation about black voters is that, you know, we're just single issue. And also the myth that we, you know, are all, you know, Democrats, which if you spend a couple of hours talking to folks in a number of different conversations, there are, you know, conservative African-Americans and others on different issues. It's just that if you have the stark difference of a party or candidates who are literally talking about, you know, getting rid of amendments that advance people's rights and issues, there is no other choice but to support the other
right.
party.
Of course, then you get your more contemporary conservatives who work against black interests in the context of celebrating Lincoln and Martin Luther King, mm-hmm. but then they call for restrictive voting rules and three strikes you're out and no racial preferences in education
exactly.
right historical wrongs.
So then we can't trust you, right? So if you and if your party is, you know, championing those issues, then we can't have a conversation about, you know, a tax bill and, you know, discuss the merits of that because you are calling for, you are advocating for me to even have, you know, my basic rights as a citizen trampled on, then I can't even join you, you know, at your table to have discussions about, you know, any other issues.
Deborah in Queens, you're on WNYC with L. Joy Williams, Brooklyn NAACP president and political strategist. Hi, Deborah.
How are you? My comment is I think a lot of the African-American community kind of was looking for either a third party or just to walk away from the Democrats. I mean, I think we're more knowledgeable now. We have access to more information now. You know, we realize that the Democratic Party, as well as other politicians, has taken us for granted. People didn't turn out for Hillary, not because of all the propaganda that was coming down the line, but we had finally had it with the Democratic Party not fulfilling and looking upon our needs. We elect them, we put them in office, and then, you know, our issues are just thrown to the sidelines. And a lot of our issues are in the headlines, and we still wasn't getting no support. So this is why a lot of African-Americans have walked away from the Democratic Party. I feel there should be a three-party system, not just a two-party system. I think we need to keep it a little more competitive.
Deborah, thank you very much. Could you, as a political strategist, Joy, ever see yourself going in that direction?
I certainly could. You know, I've long believed that so competition and having, you know, more choices and more informed choices, right? And I mean real choices, not, you know, hampered ones, will produce better candidates, therefore produce better legislation, therefore produce and strengthen our democracy. And even though I'm a Democrat and, you know, have worked a long time within the party, I'm not naive to think that having another party or multiple parties is damaging to the issues that we champion. Right. I think it just creates an opportunity for us to grow.
And we saw it on Twitter at what was an exhilarating moment for Democrats on Tuesday night. Take off in both directions. Social media exploded in calls of thank yous to black women for showing up to vote. But then writers like Brittany Packnett and even politicians, Senator Kamala Harris from California, tweeted back saying the thank yous are not enough. Harris tweeted hashtag black women, helped elect a Democrat to the U.S. Senate in Alabama for the first time in more than 20 years, but we need to do more than congratulate them. Let's address issues that disproportionately affect black women. So as pure celebration, it didn't last 5 minutes.
Yes. Well, often, you know, times people, you know, the cycle happens, right? It's like, you know, thank you for, saving us, which I would argue, you know, it wasn't saving us. You know, black women voters in Alabama were saving themselves, right? So don't take the agency away from them.
But also saving the country as progressives see it,
yes.
You know, with that extra vote in the Senate, et cetera.
Exactly. And then it turns into, well, you know, we should just let black women lead all of us. And then we should just let black women work. And we should just let black, right? So then it becomes then you do the work for us rather than let's, you know, champion and support the black women and invest in their political infrastructure and political leadership so that by proxy and also together, we can all strengthen this democracy.
Let's take another call. Cassie in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Cassie.
Yeah. Hi, you all, and good morning. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I think this country needs a viable third party. As an African-American woman, I am not just always going to vote for a Democrat, and I'm not going to just vote for a Republican. People need to really look at the issues that would affect this country, and our country really is having a lot of major problems, such as education. I believe there should be universal education. So no matter what state you're from, every child should have quality education. I don't like it here in New York, and I guess in certain states, pitching the charter school against public school, and some of the charter schools are not that really are far less, the students are not receiving quality education. So I think there should be universal education. I'm an environmentalist. What about the environment? So the person in the White House says there's no global warming. We say there is global warming, and we take the bull by the horn. I'm really tired of talking. I'm very action-orientated, so I like to be with individuals who, after you talk and plan, you take action. And as far as saying, oh, thank you, you voted, you know, in the situation in Alabama, no. Don't give us no thank you. Respect us and give us what we need. Many of us need jobs, quality education, training, and don't forget our black men. They need to be seen and not be taken advantage of, but respected, and give them the tools that they too need to go up the ladder. And we all can rise. If the bottom comes up, everybody comes up. Be blessed.
Cassie, thank you very much. And to follow up on some of the things that both of the callers have said so far, this discussion comes in a year in which the party has really debated its mission, right? Should it focus on luring the white working class voters who found appeal in President Trump, or should it look to solidify the diverse groups of voters who've been the most loyal? Do you think those things are mutually exclusive, Joy, as somebody working in politics as a strategist, as well as Brooklyn NAACP president. Like, to take the swing state of Ohio, for example, we're talking about a lot of working class white people in Youngstown and a lot of working class black people in Cleveland. Is no coalition possible?
I think there is a coalition. And when we talk about the new American majority, that's exactly what we're talking about. The new American majority includes people of color, at the center of that being African-American women. It also includes progressive and working class white folks as well. So that is the coalition we're trying to highlight. But I would say, in addition to that, there is a difference between abandoning or sort of waiting on the last minute surge of the votes and the voices of people of color and spending all of your resources or 90% of resources in chasing voters who elected to leave on their own. And I don't want to say that, I'm very careful to say that all of working white class voters sort of left and, you know, they are holding on or clinging to a message that is divisive, racist, or bigoted. I think there is a percentage of voters who are definitely doing that. But just like, you know, African-American women voters and African-American voters in general are dissatisfied with what the direction of the party, white working class voters are at the same level. The only thing that we're saying, and I can say specifically for me, is that the return on investment in investing in black voters, black and Latino voters, particularly African-American women voters, is high, right? And so that if you know, that investing 90% of your resources in chasing voters who you have to convince and massage that, you know, the issues of police brutality and voting rights or things like that, we'll talk about that a little bit or we'll talk about it less in order to have you back.
But that's how
Doug Jones... And I'm not interested in that.
That's how Doug Jones won, isn't it? He didn't talk about those things so much. He talked about kitchen table economic issues.
Right. And that's why I said in my tweets after the victory is that, you know, as I say all the time, and the reason why I do the show Sunday Civics is political participation and civic it doesn't begin and end on Election Day. So, you know, voters in Alabama have elected Doug Jones to represent them in the Senate. Now we have to continue to put pressure on him to make sure, you know, that the people who voted for him need to make sure that the issues that are important to them in terms of expanding and strengthening their right to vote, that the issues that matter to them, including kitchen table issues, that he champions those and that it's not just you're telling other voters, I will be silent or won't be out, you know, advocating for voting rights or police accountability if you come back to the party. And that's the difference. That's the clear difference for me. Don't, you know, at my expense, try to win back other voters at my expense.
Eric in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric.
Hi. By the way, the comments have been so good. I'm really impressed with the callers. Because if the world ever changes and gets better, it's because by the millions, ordinary people will do the extraordinary things they're capable of. I want to talk about the institutions that brought about change, because Alabama has always had a strong NAACP, even when it was headed by E.D. Nixon, who was the chairperson of the Regional Pullman Porters Union. And we have to rebuild all those institutions. The other comment is how to appeal to the white working class. And the answer is, you don't say to them, you're a stupid, ignorant racist, now vote for us. The answer is, you show the heroism that they showed with black people. You know, as early as 1897 in Painted Creek, West Virginia, the chairperson of the miners' union was black. And when they asked white people why you did it, their answer was, we come out of the mines, we're all covered with gray coal dust. I would trust my life to the black president of this union who works with me than to any white person who represents the ruling class. In southern Illinois, in the 1930s, where the Klan was very active, they also had black leadership in the coal miners' union. And if white coal miners are reminded of that, instead of Hillary saying, we'll just retrain you, and understanding they fought for integration before other white middle-class people fought for it, those white people would fight for it again and join. You can't insult people and ask them to vote for you. The final thing I want to say is when the Niagara Conference created the NAACP, at that time, of the 11 original board members, 9 were members of the Socialist Party. And the Democratic Party can never be a substitute for a viable Socialist Party. I talk too much. I'm sorry to spend the time, but I think people need to know this history.
Thank you. Well, that was really interesting history, Eric. We really, really appreciate it. Including knowing some history of the Alabama NAACP.
Yes. Yeah, and it's particularly important because, you know, people talk all the time about NAACP being, you know, old and antiquated and outdated. But as the caller just mentioned, in Alabama, NAACP was on the ground reminding people about the election, making sure that they had their right poll site, right, and helping those who recently enfranchised formerly incarcerated, right, to make sure that they had their rights as well. So, you know, that's the kind of work that NAACP does every day in civic participation and ensuring that we have our voice and we use it during election season.
And what about his main strategic point that the coalition is not going to come together, Democrats are not going to take back seats at the state and local level as well as congressional level in these red states or purple states if, you know, the white working class voters are insulted as stupid or racist?
And so, you know, I alluded to that in the comments before the caller, that, again, not everyone is like that. Agreed. There are people who are, and we need people to call it out when it occurs. Right. And whether it's among your family members or when people are, you know, doing the not so slight or dog whistle, or in this case, what's happening nowadays, the bullhorn, you know, of racism and bigotry. All right. And so we need that called out. And then for those who are not, right, we need you to also reject when leaders, when elected leaders or other people in the media and press are trying to stoke that racial divide. They're doing it on purpose. They're saying it on purpose that white working class doesn't have the same interests, or you can't see eye to eye, you know, with black working class or blue collar black folks. Right. We know from the work of Dr. King previously, from even early in this country. Right. Early in this country, when the focus is on white men with property, it was African-Americans, you know, African-Americans or black folks at that time, as well as poor white folks and other immigrants coming to this country who came together in rejecting that kind of tyranny. And so we need you to be as brave and to call that out when you see it.
And that caller also making, I think, 3 in a row who brought up the idea of a third party.
Yeah.
And there were third party groups, we should mention, working, I guess, during the Alabama race, Woke Vote, Black PAC. I think those aren't Democratic groups. Those are independent third party groups,
groups.
So they work for Jones in this case, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is there a particular future in those parties, those groups? Do they wind up running candidates at some point? Like on occasion, the Working Families Party in New York has has done. That's how Tish James, who's now the public advocate, first came to office.
Yeah.
She won against the Democrat as a Working Party's family candidate.
Yes, yes. And, you know, for me, if any party, third party is going to exist, the real opportunity is with someone, with a group like Working Families Party, which is championing issues that people really care about and are talking about. I'm sure that, you know, hosting this show every day, you hear people talking about the economic angst, talking about our economy, talking about their ability to own a home. home and care for their children. And Working Families Party really does that. But let me say something about these other organizations, because Black PAC, Collective PAC, Higher Heights for America, all of these entities that exist, right, they are showing the Democratic Party and others, right, that if you invest in talking to voters of color in that new American majority, if you talk to them about what issues matter to them, if you identify and support candidates that champion those issues, then we can win. And so I think we need to continue to follow the lead of those organizations and support those organizations in their work.
L. Joy Williams, political strategist and president of the Brooklyn NAACP, as well as creator and host of the Sunday Civics podcast. We're out of time, Joy, but just tell people what's coming up on the podcast.
Yeah, so this week, this Sunday, so at sundaycivics.org, this Sunday, the next episode drops. And I'm particularly talking about this episode, how to grade your legislators. So advocacy groups and lobbyists and other groups, you know, do report cards or legislative report cards. But what if you sent your own report card to your representatives and how they're doing, right, on the issues that you care about, on their constituent services, on whether or not they engage with you at all. So we're going to talk about how to do that on this week's show.
Great. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.